ओम ज्ञान चिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाके चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
There's a particular reason why I chose to speak on this verse. It developed from hearing the kirtan here as I was just arriving and changing. I heard the Arati kirtan going on. It was being sung that Radharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. So you may wonder, well, what's that got to do with Tadvidhi Pranipatena? That's what I'm wondering also. That's why I spoke on this verse. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'll explain. So, presumably, who is singing this, it's quite widely spread in ISKCON now. You probably went to ISKCON Vrindavan or some other center and heard it there, and thought, well, you heard it, and therefore you repeated it. That's called parampara, right? You hear and you repeat. So, there's some problem with this, though. The thing is that the parampara is supposed to come through the chain of self-realized spiritual masters. Specifically, we have our founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, who is... To say he's a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession is not incorrect, but it's not all, because he's not, as Jayadvaita Maharaj wrote one very nice Vyasa Puja offering one year, which I included in this book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada, because I thought it was so significant, is that Prabhupada is not just a spiritual master. That means to say, spiritual master is always extraordinary. Acharyam mang vijaniyam navamanita karnichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guru. Krishna's teaching Uddhava says one should never disrespect the spiritual master, never think of him as an ordinary person, because he is non-different, should be understood to be non-different from me. He should never be disrespected in any way, because he is the Sarvadeva Mayaguru, means the sum total of all the demigods, means, as Prabhupada himself explained once when he was asked, do you ever go to see the demigods? Prabhupada said, why should I go to see the demigods? They might come to see me. Why should I go to see them? What business have I got with them? I've got nothing to get from them. They've got something to get from me. So a guru is never ordinary. This verse, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, is describing what you might say is spiritual master is never ordinary, but what we might say is an ordinary spiritual master. It means he was describing the brahmachari life and how brahmachari should go to the guru. And sometimes the guru may just have 2-3 disciples like that in the forest. One devotee I never met him, but I know his disciples. He was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then he went home to his village, which is now in Bangladesh. And then some people saw him, and they saw, oh, this is very nice, he's chanting Hare Krishna. He didn't go to preach. But then three brothers and one sister in one family, they became his disciples. They asked him what to do. He told them, you chant like this. And then later they came in contact with our ISKCON there. And now in their village, which is traditionally there by caste fishermen, by caste and by practice, the whole village, fishermen. And they have some little land also. Anyway, there are more than 200 initiated devotees in that village now, initiated from Chaitanya Maharaj. So anyway, the guru may just have 2-3 disciples, but he's not to be considered ordinary. But as Jayadvaita Maharaj pointed out, Prabhupada was not just any spiritual master. There are many, many spiritual masters. Sometimes people ask, they see the list of disciplic succession, they say, what's going on here? There's a gap between Narottam and Vishwanath, and then a gap between Baladev Vidyabhushan and Jagannath Das Babaji. It means there's no gap. There are hundreds of spiritual masters, but the ones who have been seen to be most significant in their preaching and in their theological contributions, their names have been given. Otherwise, if you want to put the whole parampara, then there won't be any space left in the Bhagavad Gita. If you want to put the names, just like this Rasikananda book that's described, there's the names of so many devotees, and they'll say, so-and-so, he had thousands of disciples, and that's the only reference to him we have that's left. So there are so many great devotees, but even among great acharyas, Prabhupada's position is extremely special, because he did what no one else had done before, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, what no one else could have imagined doing, and Prabhupada did it. He brought Krishna consciousness all over the world. He had that special power from Krishna to do so. And Prabhupada was very particular that his name be, wherever it's written, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, whether it's a signboard, whether it's letterhead, always his name should be there as Founder Acharya. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, not just Acharya. Even on one book, they printed, there's ISKCON Press, prior to PPT, they printed on the cover of the book, the Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Prabhupada, he was angry. He said, why, you got it wrong. It's not just Acharya. There may be so many Acharyas. But Founder Acharya is Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, not just A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, but Prabhupada, the name should be there also. So Founder Acharya means that there may be so many Acharyas after Prabhupada, but their duty is to follow as Prabhupada taught us. There may be so many different approaches to Krishna consciousness, but Prabhupada, he taught specifically how we should follow, what is practical for us to follow Krishna consciousness according to his directions. So many of the things that Prabhupada taught, actually you won't find them in the books. All the philosophy you'll find there, but some practical points how we should follow, Prabhupada taught his disciples, and he expected his disciples to teach them to others. And I am attempting to do that by writing some books, Beginner's Guide, and I have to write the Vaishnava Etiquette Guide, Vaishnava Behavior. I've written actually most of the book, but I have to finish it, so that's taking time. It's just like when you build a house, it takes half the time is built to make the foundation and the structure, and then the rest of the half of the time is just finishing off, putting the plaster and the air conditioning and the electric line, so the finishing. So anyway, I wrote more than 100 essays for that book, and the second longest is on kirtan. The longest is on prasad, preparation, service. So the longest article is on kirtan. Because Prabhupada gave some very particular instructions on how we should perform kirtan. But we are very intelligent. We're so intelligent that we have invented so many different things. But that is not intelligent. Intelligent means we should understand what is real intelligence. How can we understand what is intelligent? Intelligence, real intelligence begins when we understand I'm not at all intelligent, I'm a fool. That is the beginning of intelligence. When we understand that I'm a fool, then if anyone thinks that he's a fool, then we can understand he's beginning to become intelligent. That sounds like a contradiction. But real intelligence means to understand Krishna. And then if we think, well, I can't understand Krishna. How can I understand Krishna? Krishna is unlimited. I am limited. So how can I understand Krishna? Then you have to follow the process given by Krishna, which is to follow the acharyas. So real intelligence, this Stephen Hawking, Bill Gates, these are all supposed to be intelligent people. They're not intelligent. I can boldly say, I am more intelligent than Stephen Hawking. I am a fool, rascal, idiot, rascal, number one nonsense. But this much intelligence I have, that I know that my head, which is full of nonsense, that should be put underneath Srila Prabhupada's foot. That is my intelligence. That is my claim. I can boldly say that Stephen Hawking is a fool, I am more intelligent than him, because I know I should put my nonsense brain underneath the feet of Srila Prabhupada. And then by his intelligence means he has his foot underneath his guru's foot. That's why we say Prabhupada, Vishnupada. This word can be understood in different ways. One meaning, Prabhupada means the same position as God. Acharya mang vijaniya. That's one meaning. Another meaning is, he is at the lotus feet of God. Because he's at the lotus feet of God, he's as good as God. Just like Ganga. Ganga is worshipped as good as God because coming from the feet of God. Another meaning, Prabhupada, then by his preaching makes so many devotees and they're all at his lotus feet. So many Prabhus. So, if we think I am intelligent, now I've become so intelligent, Guru Mara Vidya. Now I learned everything from Guru, I don't need him anymore. This modern education system, it's all simply some business. It's absolutely a business. You study and it's just a business transaction, that's all. You learn something so that you can also make some money. And the whole purpose of life is just to make money, that's all. That's all. Education is simply a means to make money. And then what do you do with the money? You drink, you smoke, you prostitute, so go out and buy some more electric gadgets for your home. So you go. We just stopped in the service station on the way. And so many, it's just supposed to be the shop where you pay for your petrol, but they thought, well, we can sell some other things too. So they have chocolates and toys, because when they know the children will come in, they see the toys, buy this for me, and then, what to do? So, I was just thinking, when a non-devotee goes in there, immediately his senses go out of, anyway his senses are out of control. But they just go, chocolate, Fanta. I didn't look at everything, but you know what. I mean, I didn't even look at that, but you know, all these things. His ajitendriya, his senses are out of control. So the whole society, money, 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 make money. And they have to make your senses out of control, otherwise you won't buy all the nonsense things they make. And then they won't make more money. And then you won't want to work hard for money. So the business of modern businessmen is to make sure your senses are out of control. Then you won't have any resistance. When they show the advertisement, buy this, you'll buy it. So they're deliberately promoting calm, crowd, love. Everything is promoted, especially with pictures of beautiful young women. Because immediately the men, they melt. Fire and butter principle. And then you can sell them any day. The car tires are mostly sold on the basis of sex. The Pirelli tires and special. Car tires have got nothing to do with beautiful women or ugly women or any kind of. It's just it's a rubber or imitation rubber. But they sell it on the, maybe not so much in this kind of. Here also, just always this picture of some lusty young woman and. Nothing to do with it. You can stack car tires up, fill up your room and this and that, but it's got nothing to do with women. But they make that association because they say, oh, car tire. I should buy it. Because you're stupid. You have no intelligence. So intelligence begins when you understand, I am a fool. I need to have my intelligence directed by someone who's actually intelligent. So that is the position of Parampara. And how do we learn? We're supposed to learn from Guru. Of course, you are very cultured people and you know this culture that when a sadhu comes, even caste oil sadhu, caste tree sadhu, that out of kindness, you give nice reception, washing the feet, and this and that. But that's not everything. Receiving a guru doesn't just mean washing the feet. And feeding and giving donations, all these things are very nice, should be done. But the main thing, you're supposed to hear. Someone was just asking me the other day that, is it all right if we just serve the guru? And, you know, if you're not very much interested in it. No, it's not all right. Agyanati vedandhasya jnananjana shalakya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. We worship the guru not because he's got nice feet which you can wash, or there's so many things you can feed him and then unload your karma and, or whatever it may be. Or he blesses. What is it? You have to hear, remove the ignorance by hearing instructions. That's the main thing. Tadvidhi pranipatena, submissively. Pariprashnena, that means you have to ask some questions. There's some communication is there. And seva, all the things are there. Seva, pada seva, all these things. So seva has to be the submissive inquiry. But here you have to hear, take some instruction. So what the guru says is important. Why is it important? Because he heard from his guru. Well, he said, well, that's, you know, that's just removing it one step. But why? Because guru is centered on, the whole parampara is coming from Krishna. What Krishna says is important. Therefore, the name is given. Vishnu Pad, Prabhupada, Acharya Pad, Bhagavat Pad, these are traditional titles for gurus, which means they have the position of the Supreme Lord, because they speak only what he says. And how is that to be understood? From Shastra. Shastra means what is given by God. Here, Prabhupada has called in the purport. Dharma tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma. What we should be doing, that is enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is given in the Shastra. Shastra means that which is given by Bhagavan, so we can understand what we should be doing, what we should not be doing. Everything cha, everything cha. What should be done, what should not be done. And those who don't know, janana vidur asuraha. Those who don't know, they're simply demons, that's all. So Shastra is there, but Shastra also, as Prabhupada points out, even Shastra is given by God, but you cannot understand God only by reading Shastra. That has to be explained also by Guru. And Guru has to, it's a person in the parampara who explains, you do like this, you don't do like that. This is what you should do, this is what you should not do. So particularly in ISKCON, which means this is the main branch of the Chaitanya tree, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Srila Prabhupada to go all over the world and establish this society. So we have to understand how to follow Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada taught us. It's not a very difficult principle to understand. That if Prabhupada says, you should do like this, we should do like that. And the result is that we become Krishna conscious. So he's given so many directions. And we should follow them. Now, Prabhupada gave many instructions on kirtan, getting back to the point of this, why I'm particularly speaking on this. But actually, the point, the kirtan we should do as Prabhupada taught us to do. But that is application of the important principle of how we should follow Prabhupada. And Guru in ISKCON, what does Guru in ISKCON mean? It means he follows Prabhupada. What Prabhupada taught, he teaches, that's all. Achinoti yashastrani. What is that? Achinoti yashastrani. Acharya stapyatyapi. Swayam acharate yasmat. Acharya stena kirtitaha. Acharya means He knows what is in Shastra. He teaches what in Shastra, verbally and by his behavior also. And such a person is called an Acharya. So, he takes what Prabhupada has taught us and teaches the same thing. That's all. Then you get linked to the parampara and you please Krishna. You say prasadad bhagavat prasadam. That's ya prasadam nagatikatampu. By satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master, then one is benedicted by Krishna. And if one displeases him, then you don't get the mercy of Krishna. Nagatikatampu. You don't attain the proper destination. Api, the word is given api. Api means even though you may be vastly learned in Shastra, no one's vastly learned in Shastra. Those days are gone. Some people know a few verses here and there, maybe a few hundred verses. But vastly learned, those big scholars of the past, those days are gone. But anyway, it doesn't matter because you don't need to know hundreds and thousands of verses. You need to know Krishna. So if you know one verse, man mana bhava man bhakto, or even if you don't know it, but you do it, then life is perfect. So shloks are also, and I don't want to discourage you, I know, yeah, you put a lot of emphasis on learning shloks, so very good, very nice. But we should understand that is not in and of itself the essence, because there are many mayavadis also who know many shloks. So that learning shloks that has to be mixed with the proper attitude of bhakti, which, as much as I'm seeing here, it is doing. So that's nice. But it's not all in all. One has to satisfy the spiritual master. So one may know many shloks, one may be very austere, one may be chanting, even you might be chanting, you know, 64 rounds a day. But if you don't satisfy the spiritual, whatever it may be, api, even that, whatever you do, then you don't get the mercy of Krishna. So, how can we satisfy the spiritual master? Well, it's not very difficult. We follow his instructions, and the instructions help us to understand Krishna. So, Prabhupada gave many instructions, and the most basic of all is to chant the holy names of Krishna, specifically the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we read Prabhupada's books, which is another of Prabhupada's important instructions to read his books, we'll find again and again throughout his books, he writes the whole Maha Mantra. Here in this Bhagavad Gita, how many times does anyone count? I think at least 7, 8, 9 times. Maybe more, in the Gita purports. If you want to check that out sometime, you don't have to do it right now. But you can find out how many times in his purports, Prabhupada, especially in the 8th chapter, which deals with how to prayana kale chakatam geyose niyatatma vihi. That was the question. How can one remember you at the time of death? So the whole 8th chapter is more or less dedicated to that. Answering that question, and Prabhupada elucidates it in purport after purport by stating, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's interesting because I don't find in any of Prabhupada's purports that Prabhupada says to chant Radharani Ki Jai, Maharani Ki Jai, or any of the many other things that have been introduced into ISKCON by others, not by Srila Prabhupada, actually. Now, this may surprise you because you go to Vrindavan and you hear they chant so many things and you think, oh, this is authorized. But many of the things which are chanted in ISKCON's kirtan nowadays, actually they're not what Prabhupada told us to chant. Prabhupada told us to chant in Arati, to chant the Arati song. In the morning, arati, that's samsara dhavana lalita loka. And in the evening, arati, this jaya jaya gora chandir arati koshoba. Then Prabhupada told to chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Kovacharinda 3 times. Prabhupada didn't even say to chant his own pranam mantra. But we chant that. Because yes, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagata. And then Prabhupada said to chant Hare Krishna mantra, at least half the kirtan. So as far as the other things, even jai, whatever it may be, Prabhupada never said to chant. And you, if you hear Prabhupada's kirtan, he himself never chanted. So there are many things. Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. Prabhupada sometimes, he once commented that once someone asked him, Prabhupada said, yeah, you can chant. Another time he heard they were chanting in kirtan, Prabhupada said, they can chant Nitai Gauranga. I will chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. So he didn't much encourage this. In fact, in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, when we chant the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should chant fully. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vedika Radha Shiva Sadi Govata. So many of the chants, they're introduced, I don't know why, just like nowadays you'll often hear Nitai 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 Gauranga, then what? Anyway, if you're going to chant the names of Nitai and Gauranga, then you should chant Shriva with all the names. But then why Nitai more? I think it's because it sounds kind of, you know, like a little bit like a rock and roll or something. It sounds kind of, you know, it's kind of catchy. But then why so many times Nitai, one time Gauranga? Anyway, I don't really feel any need to discuss because Prabhupada told us to chant like that. And people say I'm very conservative and this and that, but I feel it's my duty, having accepted this massive role of Acharya, which, like I say, casta tree guru. That means in the far, if there's no tree, then the casta plant is considered a tree. So, of course, there are so many wonderful trees of love of God. Within this ISKCON movement, there are so many wonderful devotees who are teaching Krishna consciousness and preaching Krishna consciousness and initiating. But anyway, somehow or other, Prabhupada wanted his disciples to carry on this disciplic succession by teaching as he taught. So having accepted this post, then to conserve the job of the guru is to conserve the teachings of the parampara. So actually guru should be conservative, should be liberal in distributing Krishna consciousness, but one side liberal, but on the other side conservative in the sense that that's the only qualification to be a guru, is that you follow what your guru taught. And if any of you invent something else or bring something else, then what is it? Your qualification is lost. That's your only qualification. So people say, I'm very conservative, but Prabhupada did say certain things. And he didn't just say them because, you know, he felt that he had to say something. Not like us, we feel. You know, it's called vacho vegam, the urge to speak. We feel, blah, 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 we have to use our tongue. We have to make ourselves heard. But Prabhupada wasn't speaking like that. It wasn't that just he felt like, oh, I feel like saying something. And then some, no. Everything he spoke is coming from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and everything he spoke is meant for our uplift. So if he said, if he expressed that he didn't like this Nitai Gauranga, then we should take that seriously. If he expressed that he wanted us to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we should take that seriously. It's basic principle of spiritual life. It's very easy to understand. So on the one hand, you can say, well, there's nothing wrong with chanting Radha Rani Ki Jai, Maharani Ki Jai. But on the other hand, Jai Radhe Prabhupada, he actually stopped devotees from singing that. He didn't want. You may be surprised. Why is that? Well, I consider that. One reason is that actually to chant Jai Radhe, that you can do if you are like Lalita Sakhi or very, very high level. But otherwise, we should, because they're promoting Radharani over Krishna. But our But that's only one aspect of Leela, and this is very, very high level, which I don't even want to get into discussing the intricacies of, because Prabhupada didn't discuss the intricacies of all these high Leelas. He wrote in his books, and we may discuss, if we get up there, but you know, let's first of all learn to chant Hare Krishna. Let's learn the basics first of all. So chanting Jai Radhe, but actually our duty is that we worship Radha and Krishna together, not Radha Rani and then no Krishna. So we chant Hare Krishna, that means Radha and Krishna, together. We're worshipping together. Not that we think I'm only worshipping Radha Rani and no need of Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, not exactly saying that, but almost. He's saying that without Radharani, I don't even want Krishna. So that is a very high sentiment. We cannot say, I don't want Krishna in any sense. We need. And of course, there's no question of Radha without Krishna. But anyway, it's very, very high level. So our duty as devotees is to serve Krishna. Krishna is pleased when he's served together with Radharani, which is also why I don't recommend that we worship this Laru Gopal deity, because Krishna, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his sampradaya, we worship Radha and Krishna together, and Krishna is more pleased when he's with Radharani. So that's a different path. So we worship Gaur-Nitai, Radha, Krishna. These are the main deities of the Gauriya Vaishnava sampradaya. So when we chant Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra, first thing, that is the mantra given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kahilam e Maha Mantra, yaha japa giya shabe kariya nibandha, yaha hoite sarva siddhi, hoive shoga, sarva kam kahanam vidinahiya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I've taught you this is the Maha Mantra. And everyone should chant this following the rules and regulations of spiritual life with a vow. Nirbandha, this word has different meanings. With a vow. If you do it in this way, always chanting the names, then you don't have to follow any other difficult regulated principles. This in itself will bring all perfection for everyone in all statuses of life. So the holy names can be chanted in various ways, but the way recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by the Parampara and by Srila Prabhupada stressed so much the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we should have faith in this. Otherwise, I'm sorry to say, sometimes I hear our kirtans and almost as a matter of formality, they chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 3 or 4 times and then the rest is all everything they ever heard, everything they ever imagined, and some new things just to show I made up something new. I'm very intelligent. But that's not intelligent. Intelligent is to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I'm not blaming you because you don't know. But I'm telling you, so now you know. And if you don't like it, well, you can do whatever you like because, you know, it's up to you. But I'm just presenting what Prabhupada has said. You can read it in Prabhupada's books. It's not anything I made up. You can listen to Prabhupada's kirtans. What does he chant? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Over and over. And this kirtans we have of Prabhupada chanting. Well, you might call me biased, but as far as I'm concerned, that's the best. There are so many great singers who can sing very beautifully, but that's the best. So, because why? Prabhupada's singing is very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very simple tune. Just practically 3 notes. Very simple. But it's when Prabhupada sings, that is absolutely on the platform of love of Krishna. So that's very, chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee, if Prabhupada said so. That's very, very powerful. Other tunes, there are so many tunes, you can sing so many tunes. There are so many nice tunes. But that singing of Prabhupada, very simple, very purifying. You can see also the videos of Prabhupada that in those days there weren't videos. They made it into videos on Prabhupada. Now a video now is this DVD, whatever it may be, or VCD. So you can see how Prabhupada's concentrating. You must have seen that. Prabhupada, how he's concentrating when he's chanting. Just completely absorbed in chanting the holy names of Krishna. There are various reasons why Prabhupada was successful in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. He himself said, I was able to do it because I had full faith in my spiritual master. But another reason we can cite, which is non-different from that, which is another manifestation of Prabhupada's full faith in his spiritual master. He had full faith in the holy name of Krishna, in the Maha Mantra. He had full faith that Dino Hino Jato Chilo Harinama Yudharilo. All of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered all the fallen souls by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Prabhupada had full faith that they may be meat eaters, they may be the hippies, illicit sex, taking drugs, the furthest away from Krishna, most fallen. Never mind they're Americans, thinking that we are great, we are Americans, but most fallen, furthest away. If they chant Hare Krishna with a little faith, they can be delivered. Little faith. You find some people in India, they are, in many ways, they're very pious and very pure. But they don't have, if they don't have faith in the holy names, then if they don't have faith in Krishna, then they may be very learned in Shastra, they may be Sadachari, so many things. But they won't get love of Krishna. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Swabha Punyavatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate. If one doesn't have even a little faith in Mahaprasad, in Govinda, in the holy name, then you won't get love of Krishna. Unless one has some kind of bhakti unmukhi punya, some kind of pious credits, then his faith, pious credits means that which is favorable towards bhakti, and his faith in these things will not arise. So, faith, great faith in the holy name, that even people that are most impious, by the holy name, they can be delivered. That was Prabhupada's great faith, and he was chanting with such tremendous faith in the holy name. You can see Prabhupada fully concentrated. So, of course, Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vigayana Bhujoy, the activities and the words and the consciousness of a pure devotee, we cannot properly understand that, but we can just not exactly speculate, but we can intuit that Prabhupada was chanting Hare Krishna with the hippies and praying to Krishna, Krishna, please deliver them. Krishna, please deliver them. So with that very intense prayer, then Krishna had to reciprocate, because he cannot deny his pure devotee. So Prabhupada gave them the whole chant Hare Krishna, chant, chant, chant. The one time in San Francisco, one crazy young hippie girl came, said Prabhupada was giving his lecture, and she said, what about my mind? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. But my mind, because they're all on drugs, and then they become very desperate. It's because they become actually haunted by ghosts. So what about my chant, Hare Krishna? Say, no, no, what about my... And someone said, listen what he's saying. Someone else said, listen what he's saying. You chant Hare Krishna. This is the solution to all problems. Chant Hare Krishna. So many times in our movement, there's big debates, discussions, what should we do, this, that, and what's right, what's wrong, and how to solve this problem. Big discussions. Prabhupada one time said, instead of meetings, resolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, chant Hare Krishna. More kirtan. Kirtan, Krishna Katha, that's one kind of kirtan. Go on discussing about Krishna. Chant the holy names. Have faith. This will deliver. Of course, some management, that's also required, because just like Giriraj Maharaj, that time he was Brahmachand. Prabhupada, when he was lying on his bed last 6 months in Vrindavan, enacting his pastime of being sick, to give the opportunity to his disciples to serve him very intimately. Otherwise, a Vaishnava is never sick. That Prabhu kahe, Vaishnava deha prakrita kabunun. A prakrita deha bhakta, chidanandamaya. The body of a pure devotee is fully spiritual. It's never to be considered material. Jato dekho Vaishnava eva haraduk. If you see a Vaishnava is suffering disease or difficulty, we shouldn't think, oh, now he's an ordinary material person. No, so that is his ecstasy. So Prabhupada was sick, and he called Giriraj Maharaj to him and said, how will this movement go on after I leave? What kind of question, you see? Very severe, serious question. How will it go on after? Because we couldn't imagine, you know, Prabhupada, how can it go on? You know, we're just a bunch of fools, and here's Prabhupada, and everything's running on. We do what he says. It's very simple. And he tells us what to do, and then everything goes on very nicely. So how can we go on without Prabhupada to tell us what to do? Of course, Prabhupada said, I've told you everything. So now you just follow. So anyway, Giriraj Maharaj answered, by sincerity, Srila Prabhupada. So that's a good answer, isn't it? Sincerity. Sincerity means we follow what he says. That's sincerity. Prabhupada said, sincerity, yes, and intelligence also. Sincerity is very good, but there should be some intelligence also. So some meetings, management, all these things also require. Actually, in many ways, you're very fortunate in these countries that you don't have temples and you don't have a movement. Mm-hmm. In some ways, you're very fortunate because then you don't have to manage anything. And life's much easier in many ways. Because as soon as you get temples, and then there's money and all this. Because money, after all, gold is the Kali's tan. So even money is Kali's, that Kanak and Kamini, these are two dangerous things. That gold or money, and Kamini means lusty woman. Or it means the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Is in the mind of a man is personified as a beautiful woman. And vice versa. In the mind of a materialistic woman, a man is the personification of Maya. So, these things, they should be used for Madhava. Shakali Madhava. Everything should be used for Krishna. Madhav. Madhav. Ma means Lakshmi. And Dhav means husband. So, all the money is meant for Krishna. And all the women, we should understand, he is the husband of the goddess of fortune. All prakriti is meant for Purusha, Param Purusha, Krishna. So So if one has this consciousness, then you can bring all the money in the world and you can bring all the beautiful women in the world and engage them in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada himself even pointed out, I have so many beautiful young women disciples, but I have no desire to enjoy them. I only want that they shall be engaged in the service of Krishna. But if one, all these things are there, you see, generally, as soon as there's some money, someone will come thinking, I could enjoy that also. This money is for Krishna, but I'm also part and parcel of Krishna. So I should also have some share of it. You see? He's God, but I'm part and parcel of him, so I should also get part and parcel of the income. So this kind of mentality can come. And then there's politics. And then there's meetings and revolutions and resolutions and no solutions, because we're not doing kirtan. We're thinking that, well, he's part and parcel, I'm part and parcel, but I'm a more important part and parcel. So I should get more of the loot. I'm doing collection, and this is, you see, 50% for Krishna, 50% for me, because I'm his dear devotee. So, of course, I'm being a little cynical here, but what I mean to say is that this kind of mentality can come. Instead of thinking that I am the servant of Krishna, one can think, I am the proprietor of this temple. And it even happened in Bangalore that they have now decided that I am the, you know, we don't need ISKCON, we are ISKCON, I am ISKCON. And the whole temple was built supposedly for the service of Krishna. But now someone has decided that, yes, the service of Krishna will go on, but I am the boss here, and everything should go on by me. This is, anyway, we don't want to get... I'm just giving the idea that these things can enter. And actually, it's not unusual. So you're lucky in that matter, that you don't have that. You may have different kinds of politics, but not that. So you're lucky in that respect. Politics means someone... This means someone is thinking that I have the right to enjoy, and someone is infringing on my right to enjoy. Even in a spiritual movement, if you think, if one thinks, of course, in an organization, someone has to be superior, has to be some kind of authority and system like that. But if someone is, then someone has to take the position of a leader. But if he thinks, I am a leader, these are all my chalas, they should, I am special, I am a Kshatriya Vaishyavata, I have come here to deliver you all. I, you should do what I say, and then the ahankar comes. That tendency is there. So one should always remember, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taught us, that ami to vaishnava buddhi hoile amani na hobo ami, that if I think that I am a Vaishnava, just like someone says, well, I've been a devotee for 15 years, I think, oh, you're very lucky. I've been in this room for 30 years, I'm still trying to be a devotee. So, you're lucky, you became a devotee. I'm still trying. So, amito vaishnava e buddhi hoile. If you think, I am a Vaishnava. You know, Hanuman, Sanatana Goswami, and Prabhupada, and Prahlad Maharaj, and Yudhishthira Maharaj, and me. You know, we're all Vaishnavas. So, I am a Vaishnava. Amito vaishnava e buddhi hoile. Amani na hobami. Then I will not be able to give respect to others. I'll simply be a puffed up rascal. So, amani na hobami. Then, what is that next line? Ashibi. Pratishta asha ashibi. The desire for respect. I'm a Vaishnava. You don't know what it says in Shastra, you should respect Vaishnavas. So I'm a devotee. I've been a devotee for 15 years. So, you know, you've only been a devotee for 14 years and 9 months. And you're not as good a devotee as me, so you should offer respect to me. Pratishtasa ashi hridaya dushibe. That will pollute our hearts. And what will be the result of this? I'm a Vaishnav, I'm going to Krishna. No. Hoibo nirayagami. I will go to hell. This will be the result. We will make offenses to Vaishnavas. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tai shishya tava takiya sarvata na loibo pujaka. Therefore, he is praying to his guru, I will always remain your disciple. I will not accept worship of anyone. So, how is that? And you may say, well, you know, this guy's saying all these things. He's sitting on a big seat and telling us to be humble. Sitting on a big seat means that you sit here to represent the message of the Acharyas. Not that if one thinks, this, you know, these people, I came all the way from India and then I drove from Dubai and they arranged this seat and it's, you know, it's a little bit high but it's not high enough. Who do they, you know, they don't honor me enough, they don't respect me enough. So if you're thinking like that, then you're a rascal, and so on. But if you're thinking that, well, you know, I this Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura explained that, you know, my proper position is at the feet of all the Vaishnavas, but the Guru has ordered that I should take the position of teacher. So only on that basis, knowing myself to be that jagai madhai hoite amito papishta purishe kit hoite muito lagishta je mora naam shune tara punya khoi je mora naam loi tara papa hoi. With this attitude that I am more sinful than jagai and madhai and lower than the worm in stew. Anyone who hears my name, their pious activities become spoiled. And anyone who says my name becomes sinful by so doing. If one thinks like that, then it is possible to accept this otherwise very difficult role of instructing others. So, but if one thinks that instead of jagai and madhai, I am more fallen. If one thinks, well, actually, I'm a very advanced devotee. If you think like that, then immediately finished. All qualification. Sometimes it happens. Someone, they come to devotional service, very humble, very nice, doing so. Then after some time, people see, it's very good devotee. And then they hear, oh, they say I'm a good devotee. Oh, oh. And then, oh, that's nice. Oh, how nice. And then they go on acting like a good devotee, but they forgot that they're supposed to be doing it for Krishna. They're doing it just so that they can hear that sweet words of others praising them. They're not actually doing it for Krishna anymore. Now it's become a semblance. Now I'm doing just to show others what a good devotee. Then I will hear them praising. Oh. So now you're doing it, it looks like bhakti, but now you're doing it for personal sense gratification. Maya has caught you. Apparently bhakti, but Maya has caught. So, you have to be very careful to always remain the servant not to think I am the master. It may be out of kindness one has to instruct, just like parents, it is their duty to instruct their children. But a Vaishnava parent thinks that actually this child is sent by Krishna. So this child must be greater than me. So, but anyway, it is my duty to instruct. Even Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj was teaching that in traditional culture and according to Shastra, the wife should serve the husband. But he was saying that you should respect your wife as a Vaishnavi and serve her. That you serve her prasad and then when finished you take like that. So he was saying, of course, Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj used to speak in cryptic ways and none of our acharyas have practically instructed like that, but he wanted to give the proper mood to instruct that you have not, marriage doesn't mean that you become the enjoyer of your wife or that the wife becomes the exploiter of the husband. But it means that both cooperate thinking that I'm very fortunate to have the association of this person who is helping me to be Krishna conscious. So we should help each other. And then the traditional roles are there, that the husband is supposed to take the role of the head of the family and the wife is assistant, like that. But we should understand that we're very fortunate. Sometimes I see even, you see devotees, husband and wife, sometimes they're not getting on like this. And they say, well, you know, he's like that and she's like that. And we're so fortunate actually because there are many people who they're married, they're devotees, but their wife or their husband or whatever, they're not cooperating in Krishna consciousness. Very difficult. So we're very fortunate to have a devotee wife or husband. And there may be some differences, this and that. But you should understand, I'm very lucky to have someone who's helping me to remember Krishna, who's serious to serve Krishna. So, let us serve Krishna. It's very easy, very sweet, very nice, no problem. All the problems come when we stop remembering that I'm servant. And then we think, I know better, I have some different idea. I have a new idea how to serve Krishna. And immediately, nonsense. That's all. Because Krishna's already given everything. And Prabhupada has taught us everything. We should simply follow. And then we become Krishna conscious. And if we have new ideas, different ideas, this, that, so many other things, and we find some shastra, pull something out, that's not a very good idea because there are so many things in shastra. But we should understand according to how our acharya has taught us. Not that we pull something out of shastra to contradict or to show I have something new, better idea. These are not good ideas. Simply follow. In the details, Azri, there are many details also. We should try, just like how we should perform kirtan. Even in dressing, you see. Now you think, so I just saw some young girl coming in with shorts on. But you may say, well, a little girl, doesn't matter. She's only, 6, 7 years old. And in the villages, often the young girls, they go around with no clothes on at all. You don't know. I go in the villages. You don't. But the thing is that if you dress them like that, then when they grow older, they'll think, well, you see, I was wearing all this time shorts, now why are you telling me not? And they'll be growing up and they'll also want to wear shorts. So better from the beginning. You train. If you think that, well, you know, just let them do whatever they like. This is the modern idea. Let the children do whatever they like. Then they'll go on doing whatever they like and then they'll remain in the material world. You have to train them to do what Krishna wants them to do. So there are so many things. how you should dress, how you should behave, how you should speak, how you should eat, what you should eat, how you should sing, what you should sing. Nowadays people think, it's real, just enjoy. Animal civilization. So, Vedic culture, that is most advanced because there are so many rules and regulations which teach us to do what Krishna wants us to do. And then when we become a perfect devotee, we follow all those things automatically. And then it doesn't become a rule and regulation. Actually, we think there's so many rules and regulations are because we are rascals. Otherwise, pure devotee anyway doesn't want to eat anything which is offered to Krishna. For us, it's a rule and a regulation. You should only take Krishna prasada. Not that you just go to the shop and you buy some bread and biscuits and don't look at the label very well. You look at the label. It doesn't matter. Look at the label, not look at the label. It's not offerable to Krishna because it's cooked by non-devotees. And we're devotee means you have to only take what Krishna likes. And Krishna, Mother Yashoda doesn't go down to the local store and buy some bread and biscuits and stick it in there and say, yeah, Krishna, you know, when you want, you just go and, you know, I'm too busy watching TV. So you just, you know, get something out of the fridge. No. She cooks so many nice things, what Krishna likes to eat. And then the devotees, they take the remnants. Lalitadi shakigan avashay shopai. Mone mone shuke radha krishna gunagai. First of all, Radharani takes the remnants, then Lalitadi shakigan, they take the remnants, and then the avashesh. And then, naturally, in their minds, all the qualities of Radha and Krishna come because they're taking prasada. But if you're nibbling some biscuits in front of the TV, then you're not going to be Krishna conscious, even if they're vegetarian biscuits, which they may or may not be. And once you start to eat biscuits, then after some time you don't care anyway. Anyway, it looks the same way. Who cares? Little egg here and there never harmed anyone. So it becomes very dangerous. Then ajitendriya. And then you wonder why the kid, you know, they don't follow the parents and they scream and yell at the parents. And say, well, I wanted my child to be a devotee. And then you have to train from the beginning. But you don't want to do it. It's too much hard work. It becomes much more hard work later on when you're trying to stop them from drinking and smoking. And it's too late. You have to start at the beginning. So try to follow strictly. Not try to follow strictly, follow strictly. If you say try, then you won't. Just do it, that's all. There are certain things given in Shastra and given by Acharyas that if we do, that will help us to become Krishna conscious. And if we don't do, then we won't become Krishna conscious. Or if we, you know, well, I like a few of these rules, I don't like these rules, and then you'll be mixed. And mixed means you'll remain in the material world. But the Acharyas didn't come to teach us that you be half a devotee. Now I'm a devotee, but, you know, sometimes we just, you know. And then we have to be practical. There's so many excuses. So you're very practical, and very practically we're taking birth again and again in the material world. Maya is very practical. She has 8,400,000 prototypes of how you can practically live in this world. People ask us, well, how can we practically live in this material world? So it's not a problem. You know, Maya already has it sorted out. Maya has her plan. But our idea is how to practically get out of this stinking place. Go to Krishna. So for that we have the rules and regulations of devotional service. If we follow, we become strong. If not, we remain weak. If you're not weak, then you can't be Krishna conscious. You have to be strong. You have to capture Krishna in your heart. You're not going to do that by sipping Pepsi Cola. Not possible. Krishna, What do you want? Do you want Krishna or you want Pepsi Cola? You want? Take Pepsi Cola. You want Krishna or you want some nonsense thing on TV? If you want Krishna, you chant Hare Krishna. If you want the nonsense thing on TV, you can turn it on. You can also chant Hare Krishna at the same time. But Krishna's not impressed. I've seen people that they're very faithfully chanting their rounds, watching TV. But you can't fool Krishna. Krishna, this is an insult to Krishna. That you think Krishna's such a fool that I'll get my material enjoyment and at the same time I'll get both things. No. We are such a fool to think that Krishna is a fool. So you just follow a little strictly, that's all. Then you get Krishna. What do you want? Why are you coming in? Why are we all coming in? We want Krishna, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it? What do we want?
Yes.
So, if you want Krishna then, that means no Maya. You can't have both. That's only for Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the only person authorized to have Krishna and Maya. Because he knows how to use Maya in Krishna's service. And for him, Maya is not Maya. Because he's interested in Krishna. He has his... Maya means Durga Devi. And he sits under a tree and chants Ramna. He's not in Maya. But she is deluding the whole world. We're thinking we can enjoy. So when we give up the idea of trying to enjoy Maya, and we think only how I can serve Krishna, then we are free from Maya's influence and we come under the shelter of Yoga Maya. But because we are mudha, nonsense, therefore it is required for us some certain rules and regulations to follow that will help us to get free from the influence of Maya. So we should follow and then Krishna will help us. Very simple process. So we shouldn't cheat ourselves. We should know what is required to be Krishna conscious. That Prabhupada has given us everything. Simply follow and go to Krishna. That's all. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare, can I ask a two, three question?
Yeah.
Just on the point you said that Prabhupada has not written everything in his books. He has given the
instructions. No, Prabhupada said I've given everything in my books. But in terms of some practical, a lot of the practical points,
yeah,
he taught his disciples and he expected them to teach others.
Yes.
Now, a lot of those things are not known, or somehow or other, most devotees don't seem to know them. So I take it upon myself the task of codifying them. And the task has been going on for many years now.
Well, just to follow up that point, I'm like, I got two or three doubts in my mind.
Mm.
First about the Hari Bol, you were discussing in the room.
Mm.
Why shouldn't we say Hari Bol?
Mm.
Can you please, Maharaj, explain again? Like,
well, if we're saying Hari Bol, we're literally telling others to chant the name of Hari.
Hari.
So when people say Hari Bol to me, I say Hari. Did anyone notice? So we also find that you'll never find any case of Prabhupada chanting in Kirtan, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. There are many, many other things which we chant now which Prabhupada never actually chanted. He never taught us to chant. We picked it up from somewhere else, I'm not sure where. But Prabhupada said he wanted the Hare Krishna mantra chanted in Kirtan, and he personally did that. And he also allowed some other things, Govinda Jai Jai Gopal Jai Jai. But definitely his emphasis was on Hare Krishna Mahamantra. There is one instance of known of Prabhupada chanting Hari Bol in Kirtan. In a park in Amsterdam full of hippies who are completely wild, right in front of Prabhupada, they're having sex. And really very degraded. So Prabhupada, he put out his hand and said, Hari Bol. That's the only known instance. Otherwise, he never instructed us to chant. Again, if you chant, you can say there's nothing wrong with it. But when Prabhupada very clearly instructed us to chant Hare Krishna, then why not do that? And if you're saying Hare Bol, you're taking the position of Guru by doing so. So we can request others to chant Hare Krishna. But especially among devotees, it seems to be inappropriate to say, I mean, it's like standard devotees saying Hare Bol to each other. But it seems inappropriate. You'd rather ask for their blessings or say Hare Krishna as Prabhupada used to do.
And one more point on performing the arati. Like when we perform the arati for Radha Shyamsundara in the morning, so that time we perform the arati for Radha Krishna, then Gauranta, and then we go to Tulsi Maharani, then we go to Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and then Guru. But after the arati, then we again perform the arati for Tulsi Maharani, then again we perform the arati for Srila Prabhupada, again we perform.
No, generally you see Tulsi. The arti is offered to Krishna, first taking permission from the Guru. So then we show the items also to the other, but this special arti is there for Tulsi, separate. That means we're worshipping her as Vaishnavi and asking for her specific blessings. So that's part of the process of devotional service given by Rupa Goswami, to serve and worship Tulsi. So that's done separately also. And worship of Guru is also done separately. The worship on the altar is specifically meant for the deities. And then others who are there as the paraphernalia or the devotees, then also in the course of doing that, we also show the items to them. But the arti is for the deity. We're offering arti to the deities. Then separate artis are there for Tulsi, for Guru, like that. And in the process of puja, we do separate puja. First for Guru, then for Gauranga, then for Radha Krishna, like this. I'm talking about not the arti, but in the puja process. So, what's the problem with that? Why we do it twice?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that why are we doing it twice? Like during the arti also.
Yeah, well, you can do it all day, but there's no harm to worship. It's good to worship. We specifically do separate artis for Tulsi and for Guru, requesting their mercy, because that Tulsi is Krishna Bhakti Pradayani. Guru also.
And Bhaji, one more thing on wearing the dress during performing the arti. Like I was going through the Narada Pancharatrika, so there it was mentioned that anybody who wears the top while performing the arti, he has to become a leper in 7 births.
Yeah.
But in our ISKCON, we see all the devotees, they wear the top chadar. And so I was...
No, the upper cloth means that... Now in other vidhis it says you should wear some upper cloth and not have only simply a lower cloth. So in the South Indian sampradayas, they get around this by tying it around like this. Prabhupada even offered arti wearing a shirt, if you see Krishna Balaram Mandir. So that is a traditional, it's showing respect to not wear sewn cloth, any sewn cloth, that they should... Traditionally, the sadhus, they don't wear sewn cloth. Sadhus or Brahmins. And exactly the reason for that, I don't know. It may be not to show off any opulence or just to be very simple like that. And it's said that one, while offering obeisances, one should not wear any cloth on the upper body. But... seems that Prabhupada, he didn't give so much importance to that, because he himself, although in our temples we don't offer on the altar with shirts, although Guru Puja, Tulsi Arti we may do. But it seems that there are many rules which that's again I'm saying we have to follow our Acharya. Because there are many rules which Prabhupada, he didn't emphasized so much. Maybe if we're strictly following the Vedic culture in village India, then we can follow all these rules very strictly. But it may be in the modern world, Prabhupada relaxed some he did and some he didn't. So we shouldn't relax. If we say that, well, Prabhupada relaxed that rule, therefore we'll relax every other rule, then that's a mistake. We should see what he allowed and what he didn't allow. And as for these things, you become a leper in seven lives and all these things. If you drop the Charanamrita, I mean, I don't know how many times I've dropped Charanamrita. It's difficult to hold. You know, so what happens, it's similar, something terrible like that. You go to hell for as many kalpas as, you know, the sun and moon exist or something like that. But we can also, we can understand, there are certain things which are stated which, that's to give some indication that we shouldn't do it. But it's not, Krishna's not going to send us to hell for millions of lifetimes. No, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're trying to serve Krishna, and by accident we drop the Charanamrita and then we go to hell for millions of years. Krishna's not like that. That is a warning for people who are not devotional, who don't have an attitude of devotion, that they should be very, they should be respectful and care. Those kind of warnings are for people who are not really come to bhakti yet. So we should take Charanamrita in a way that we should be very respectful. But on the other hand, if by mistake a devotee, and mistakes are always going to be there. So if we make a mistake, we should know that Krishna will forgive also if we're sincere. Therefore we have the Kshama Prarthana mantras after we offer the puja. There's Ahani, what is that? Aparada sahasrani kriyanti hani shama. Daso hamiti mang mahma shamasva matu sudana. He said that there are so many of the Kshama Prarthana mantras that day and night I make thousands of offenses, but considering me as your servant, please forgive me. So like that. If we like to follow more strictly, that's nice, then we offer without the sewn cloth. We can just keep. That's the standard in our ISKCON temples. But then there's also a concern. You see, I go in different parts of India. And in South India, where it's hot most of the year, it's on the plains, then it's a very normal thing that you just go without, you just wear some top piece, and for men, most of the body is showing like that. But in North India, if you go like that, especially in Bengal, you're supposed to cover, it's the custom that you should cover your body. And I often see that if you go like that in North India, then the ladies, they feel a little nervous like that, whereas in South India, it's fully accepted. So maybe you adjust according to the culture. In North India, it's maybe better to wear a kurta, even if it's hot. Actually, in India, this season, the clothing is only for decorum. It's so hot. Dubai, Abu Dhabi is about 35. I was in Hyderabad, it was 45. It was much hotter. So, everywhere now it's hot. So, clothing is only worn for some just, you know, decency. So, in North India, most of it, you should wear some. In South India, you can just go with the, just wrap some cloth here and go bare chested, and that's quite acceptable. So, there's also consideration of the local etiquette like that, you know, what people think is proper. Not that we have to adjust ourselves totally to what people think is proper. Even wearing shoes on Harinam, we do that. So that's in the Western countries, if you go barefoot, people think you're like beggars. Now in India, in many places, it's different in different places. In the cities in India, if you don't go with shoes, people think there's... Still, you find, especially in South India, some people from respectable families, they don't use shoes at all. But in the cities, and another thing is that all the pavement is all broken, and you break your feet if you don't go with shoes. But then, if you go about 2 or 3 years ago, I was in one village in UP,
And some young girl came up to me and said, why are you chanting with shoes on? We don't do that. So you have to be a little sensitive to the local culture also. I was just in Puri for about 10 days. It's the first time I spent so long in Puri ever. So I was going out chanting in the morning. I was going without shoes because people are very sensitive there. Actually, you're supposed to, the real thing, you're supposed to sit while chanting Japa, and that's another thing. So we have to see. I mean, these are, even though it's stated so strongly, you become a leper for seven lives, it is a sub-rule. It's not the main rule. We have to see what will satisfy Krishna. Actually, so if you like, you can follow that. It's nice. The more we follow these things, that's nice.
What about wearing that t-shirt with Krishna's picture and writing
the Hari? I'm not so much in favor of that because then a t-shirt and then you're bowing down and offering obeisances. And then the picture goes on the floor. There's also some things you say, I love Krishna. They're declaring.
Mahamantra is also written.
They're declaring, I love Krishna. Vaishnava doesn't say, I love Krishna. Or I lost my heart in Vrindavan. And you know, they're standing at the Coca-Cola stall. So, it's declaring myself, I am a great Vaishnava. It's not Vaishnava to do like that. One t-shirt I saw, one initiated devotee was wearing, with some very, I told him, this is, you don't wear this. It was some picture of Radha and Krishna, painted by B.G. Sharma, but it's very intimate, and Radharani is wearing see-through clothing, practically. So I asked, where did you get this? And he said, I bought this at ISKCON Vrindavan. Oh, I forgot, I have to write them and tell them, don't sell that t-shirt, it's not proper at all. There's not at all, you should not at all have such pictures. So, there are so many things. The most popular picture of Radha and Krishna is one which is painted in ISKCON, is one that was painted after Prabhupada left. In Bombay, they come and they ask for the filmy picture of Radha and Krishna. I don't find this is not Radha and Krishna. It looks like some Western film stars. Like this, Krishna's really strong and muscular. Prabhupada, when his disciples first started painting Krishna like that, Prabhupada said, this is not, he said, he showed a traditional Indian painting of Krishna. Prabhupada said, this is the concept of beauty according to the milk drinkers. And this all muscles, he said, this is the concept of beauty according to the meat eaters. So that in that ashram I was showing you, that picture, it's the most popular picture because it satisfies the senses of materialistic people. I don't see, this is not Radha and Krishna. So even though it's circulated in ISKCON, I don't find this is not Radha and Krishna. At least Prabhupada didn't recognize like that. So we should be very careful to understand the principle of parampara. If we bring our own ideas in, then everything gets spoiled. And, you know, ISKCON's a big organization, there are many people. And we're in the democratic age, so everyone's voice is heard, but this democracy is another nonsense. This democracy means you hear everyone's voice. Actually, in material life, it doesn't. It means you hear the voice of America. It's the radio. Or you hear from the TV stars and the politicians. So this, but they promote the idea of democracy, that everyone's voice should be heard. But this is not in spiritual life. In spiritual life, you hear Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kariya Aika Ana Kariya Monayash. Not that, well, you know, I've also got my opinion and I'm also important. Just like so many times people ask me, what do you think of this or that? It doesn't matter what I think. I mean, it's completely insignificant. You think you're giving me respect by asking what I think, but the very question is nonsensical. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what Krishna thinks, what the Acharyas think, not what I think. What do you believe? What does it matter what I believe? What is the fact? What is given in Shastra? This we should understand. So I'm saying that, you know, in ISKCON we have this kind of democratic mood, and therefore so many things may get introduced. But we should follow what is given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, particularly as we have received from Srila Prabhupada. Then we'll be nicely fixed on the platform of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if you think that Krishna is some big, you know, like this, some out of the Hollywood movies, and Radharani looks like some lusty film star, then you won't go to Krishna, because you'll be developing a different desire.
Mataji has got some question about Laddu Gopal. Mentioned about the worship of Laddu Gopal. About the worship of Radha Krishna.
You know, deity worship is Laddu Gopal.
So what's the question?
She wants to be clear, because many devotees, they go to Laddu Gopal deities and they are worshipping them.
Yeah.
How to switch up to Radha Krishna worship?
Well, actually, we recommend, or Prabhupada recommended, first of all, Gaur-Nitai worship. Because Radha Krishna requires actually high standard.
But even just Radha Krishna, we have to follow so many.
That's what I'm saying. Better to worship Gaur-Nitai, Prabhupada recommended. If you are able to follow so many rules and regulations, then only it's better to worship. Another thing is that you don't just, you're visiting Vrindavan and then you buy deities of Gaur-Nitai or Radha Krishna, and then you come back and say, I bought deities. How much? 500 rupees. Very cheap. You can't buy Krishna. First, you have to take permission from Guru. And then, with his blessings, you can worship. Not that I feel like buying Radha Krishna. Not like that. You can't buy Radha Krishna. How will you get? You'll get by taking permission from Guru, and then with his blessings, praying to Gaur-Nitai, Radha Krishna, whichever deities he has authorized you to worship, praying for their mercy that they will manifest themselves for your worship, and the deity should be installed either by Guru or with his express permission. You can perform a ceremony inviting all the devotees, then you start to worship. Not that, well, you know, I feel like worshiping somebody, and then after some time, well, you know, it's too much trouble, and give them away to someone else. So many times I'm saying no. So Laddu Gopal, that's worship. It's not that it's not a Vaishnava form of worship, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, in our sampradaya, we don't actually like to worship Krishna separate from Radharani, because we know Krishna is happy with Radharani. So we worship Radha with Krishna. That's more pleasing to Krishna.
And what about next last thing? What about the deities of Jagannath, Baldi, Subhadra?
Yeah, we can also worship. They're very merciful forms of the Lord. You also worship Radha Krishna, but become qualified to do so. In this age, it's recommended to worship deities of Gaur-Nitai and chant. Chanting is Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Janti Hi Sumedasa. Chanting is very important. Deity worship, especially, you see, people don't have time, they're very busy. Actually, deity worship requires much time. So it's better you keep Gaur-Nitai and you do whatever worship you can, and worship by kirtan. Lots of kirtan.
Well, should we observe specific timings regarding opening the altar and closing the altar and offering the altar?
In home worship, it can be more flexible. But not so flexible. If you're going to have deities, then you should offer them Mangalarti like this. Don't keep them as dolls. But in home worship, there's some flexibility. There are many things. I have to write many books. Five-star behavior, then family life in Krishna consciousness is overlapping, because an important part of family life in Krishna consciousness is deity worship at home. There's so many things. Family life in Krishna consciousness, there are certain, you can buy books like, what is that, Men Are From Mars and Women From Venus. And that won't help you very much, because family life in Krishna consciousness is a completely different concept. There are so many things. It's a totally spiritual concept. So in the family life in Krishna consciousness, the role of the guru, that's very important. That's not there in Men Are From Mars and Women From Venus. It's only how to gratify each other's senses, that's all. And then how Krishna has to be the center of the home life. It's a whole different, so it's a much bigger topic than how to live together for mutual sense gratification. It's a completely different outlook. Family life in Krishna consciousness and family life not in Krishna consciousness are quite different. Very, very different. Even having children in family life not in Krishna consciousness, usually it means a mistake. You know, they forgot to... Anyway, it just kind of happened. As John Lennon, the great philosopher of the modern age, said that most children in the modern world they're born over a bottle of whiskey on Saturday night. So in Krishna consciousness we have family planning. Means that just like deity, it's not that you just whimsically buy a deity, but family planning means you take permission from Guru, then you find what is the right proper time, pray to Krishna, please send your devotee for us to serve, like this. So it's a completely different, to materialistic family life.
Speaking on behalf of Mataji, because some of them are shy here.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, one more question, that while offering the bhoga.
That's good. That's one of the qualities of women.
Yeah.
Mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Hari. Shyness.
So we are closing the altar while we offer the bhoga to Krishna. But what about the pictures now? How to prove them?
No, you see, the pictures installed on the altar, they are specific forms for worship. So other forms, they are worshipable, but they're not specifically worshipped. You may do also, you may every day offer some incense, because actually the forms are not different, but certain forms are specifically for worship and are treated as such. Not every form has to